The question was asked, how do we view reading people's palms? And similar things, right? Going to people who read tarot cards, and all that. What? So I'll tell you, firstly, just for your general knowledge, when I was a kid, I was a magician, and I read up books on this, and for a pretty penny, I could also tell you your future. I could read the palm of your hand, I could tell you who you are, I could tell you all about it. I mean, you see there are different lines in your hand, I could show you like where these lines meet, what they mean, what kind of person you are, and all that. A lot of it is fake. I know how to fake this stuff out. What I know is fake. But I could be very convincing. I've given you different examples of opening lines that are classical. I feel that you're very lonely. I feel there's a sense of sadness in you. There's something in you that really, something in your past that you're not so happy about. I can tell you a few lines that guys, all of you will say, how'd you know, right? If I had the right ambiance, if I had the right little crystal ball, I could tell you that our opening lines are books that explain this. So firstly, you should know that a lot of it is just fake. A lot of the people are charlatans. So that's number one, just for your general knowledge. There is a machlokes rishonim, geonim, as to whether there really is the ability to tell the future, whether there really is the ability to speak to the dead, to bring back the dead. There are two opinions among our sages as to how to understand the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that there were people who had this ability, and there are different opinions among our sages as to whether they were all charlatans or they really had powers. Assuming that we're going to go with the opinion that they do have powers, which is a machlokes, but assuming that we're going to go with that opinion, so then the question is, may we go to them? So the Torah tells us that God tells the Jewish people, for the nations I gave them, the stargazers and different forces, that they ask them what's going to be in the future. And you, the Jewish people, aren't supposed to go to them, you're supposed to go to God. You have a prophet, and the prophet will tell you what's going to be in the future, and he'll help you out figuring out how to set up your life. What does that encompass when God says, don't go to them? To me, that is unclear. I didn't say it is unclear, I said to me it is unclear what it encompasses, what the prohibition encompasses. I am not sure that it encompasses many things that are around today. But what I would tell you is that, again, taking into account that at least 80% are charlatans, at least, even if we're going to say there are some that really do have some understanding, as understanding from the palm of your hand and things like that, what your future holds. So we have at least two opinions in the Medrash. One opinion says that Ein Mazal LeYisrael, the Jewish people, don't come under these forces. It doesn't begin to apply to a Jew. The second a person becomes a Jew, he is under a totally different set of rules and all this will not work. And the other opinion says that a Jew can overcome his mazel, which seems to indicate that when we're born under the same constellations and the same things affect us. But when you're a Jew, so God says, you have the power to pray, you have a non-Jew also has the power to pray. God says a Jew has the ability to overcome even things that are engraved in the stars. In the stars it says that Avraham won't have children, and God says, yes, I'll take him above the stars. From now on, Avraham will have children, and Avraham's offspring are exempt from the constellations. And we know that Avraham is Av Hamon Goyim, he's the father of many nations, because he's the father of every Ger. Every Ger is considered Avraham's son. We say a Ger goes up to the Torah, he's called Ben Avraham, the son of Avraham. So even if we will go with the opinion that says that these things do have some power and understanding and validity, and we go with something which is permissible in the Torah, we should still be aware that it won't be very relevant to you. There was once a person who was famous in being able to tell people what their future was and reading their palm and all that, who came to Jerusalem. And some of the top people at Merkaz Arav decided they want to check this guy out. So they got all dressed up, like they weren't yeshiva guys, and they went in. And they sat by him, started looking at their palm, started talking to them, and he said, "Wait a second, you guys are yeshiva guys, no?" They said, "Yeah." So he said, "What are you coming here for? It doesn't work for you guys. You should have told me that in the beginning. We have nothing to talk about." And that's a story I heard from the wife of one of the guys who went. He passed away, but his wife told me the story. So, well, I don't know what I don't know in heaven why they chose to have him pass away, but here on earth he lived for many years afterwards, had many, many children afterwards. That was what I think before he was even married. And then he passed away. He was rabbi of a big congregation of a yeshu.
Which
Bet Meir. He was also a chief rabbi of the Shomron at one point. But at any rate, this is what his wife told me once. So that's the tradition we have. We have nothing to search for there. Either because they have nothing to offer anyone in truth, or even if you go with the opinion that says they do have what to offer, that there is some truth in it, for us they have nothing to offer. Shaul did it. Over there where Shaul did it, if you look at the Radak, that's where the Radak brings down the Machlokis Rishonim, Gaonim, as to whether there was any validity or she was fooling him. So what Shaul did exactly over there, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, you open up the Radak and the Radak brings a different opinion. Mm-hmm. Radak, Rav David Kimchi, he was the Rishon, quoted by the Beis Yosef.
The explanation you said to you and why we don't use it is because we have a problem.
So there's a machlokas rishonim how to understand those verses. When the verse says that you don't go ask these people, God gave you a prophet. So one opinion, what I quote, if I'm not mistaken, is the Ramban's opinion, that God is telling the Jewish people, I gave these forces into the world, but they're not for you, they're for the other nations. You have a prophet, you have the Torah, I'm giving you a way of life that's totally different, you don't need this. There are other opinions that say God is saying they're going ki hagoyim ha'ele el me'onenim ve'el kosenim yishmau. These nations, they listen to people who do all kinds of magic. Ve'ata, and you the Jewish people, lochem, you don't need all this. Navi mikel v'checha kimcha. Kamoni, God says, I will establish a prophet like me, like Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Elav tishmon, you listen to the prophet. You don't have to go look like the other nations do. Does that mean that the other nations have something that's valid, but God says, you don't need it? I'm giving you a different way of life. Or does that mean they have something which is worthless and you have something that's valuable? I'm giving you something, I'm giving you my profit. So don't go to that. That's ridiculous. How to explain that? Those are two possible understandings and there are more.
So
I said, I don't know. To me, I haven't learned this sugya well enough. I don't know what that encompasses. And the Torah says not to go to them and yes to go to the prophet. I don't know.
One second.
Daniel, on this point or something
yes,
else? Yeah.
One of the first Jews of the family I met, he supposed him to be a rabbi. He never outed himself as a rabbi or a Kabbalist or something like that. But he was obviously an observant Jew. And I didn't ask for what he wanted to say, and I see my palm was in the other palm. He crossed by accident if he was like that. My leg. He never saw me before. He doesn't know anything about me or my family or my background, and I never saw him again. And he was telling me things out of my past that nobody knows. Only I know.
Are you sure I don't know?
Yes. Because these are details nobody can know. Nobody.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I can tell you I have books at home if you guys are interested. That tell you how to read a person's face. just from seeing a person's face, how his nose is, how his eyebrows are, what color his skin is, how his hair is, how his hairline goes, to know all kinds of things about a person. If you think there's validity in that, I have books, foreign books, Jewish books that discuss that. Okay.
Are they very like high up there, or?
I don't know.
And my question actually is, the older person told me things about my future.
I wouldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
Let's put it this way. People will. Yes. People send in letters to the Rebbe from Chabad, and people write a question. They open up a book, one of the books from the Rebbe. They stick in the question, and then they open up to see what page it's at, and they say, "We have an answer." So a guy came to the Machon and said, before I was contemplating what to do, I put in the question, and the Rebbe told me at the beginning of the letter, he said, I should come to Israel. That was the beginning of that letter. I said, okay. I said, the Rebbe continues the letter and says, you're going to get married within a few months. So I said, yes. So he said, I'm waiting for someone to set me up with a girl because I'm sure I'm going to get married. I understand the man's mindset, because that's what the next thing in the letter said. So that was the next thing he was going to do. And the Rebbe wrote in the letter within a few months that he should have Mazal Tov on meeting his wife. So he was convinced within a few months he's going to meet his wife. So you understand now what happened. 4 months passed and he doesn't have a date. The next girl that he's going to be set up with in his mind, that must be it, because months are passing. What happens when 11 months pass? And the Rebbe wrote within a few months he's going to get married. The Rebbe didn't write it to him. Maybe he wrote it to a guy who was already engaged. I don't know. I don't think the Rebbe wrote out letters to people saying, you're going to meet your Bashert in a few months. I don't think so. I would be very careful. I would not let that affect what I do in life. So someone looked at the palm of your hand and told you details about your past and then told you about your future?
No, the thing is, I don't think I really affected my life enough so that I oriented my life on that what he said. But when the things came true, I remember that exactly that happened what he told me.
I could do the same thing. I could do the same thing.
Can you do that tomorrow?
But I give differently. When there are couples that I know, so I tell them, I want you to know, I think that A, B, and C are going to be issues in your marriage. I want you to keep an eye out for it. So if I wanted to, I could start collecting money. I could look at the palm of his hand first and say, look, when's your palm? I think like this and like that. I could do that. I told you, there are a lot of things, there are things you could say. You have to understand when people say things, we interpret them a certain way. And when you know how to speak, you know how to say things in a way that there's a radio show with experts here in Israel. You call in and they'll tell you, oh, I see. And they start telling you, I see you were in someone's house and that affected you a lot. I see that there was once a relationship in your life and something happened in that relationship that really, really had an impact to this day. I can tell you lines that each and every one of you, as you think about it, you're going to interpret it. And if I were sitting here in a different type of aura, you would all be convinced that I know everything about you. I don't. It's a load of hogwash. If you want to sit down, I can sit down and do it with you. I know the secrets behind a lot of things that Uri Geller did. I could also do that. You want me to bend spoons while you hold them? I know how to do that too. You want me to give you an object to hold in your hand, and because you concentrate, the object will get warmer and warmer. It will get so hot because of your concentration that you won't be able to hold it in your hand anymore. And it will really, literally be burning. And if someone else touches it, they'll feel that it's burning. Why? Because you concentrate on it. Hogwash. There's a chemical that we put on any object, and if you hold it, your body heat generates such heat that it causes it to be burning. I can tell you a lot of secrets about all these magic tricks. I could sit on the radio and have a talk show and tell people, if you all have a watch that's above the radio and it's not working, pick it up. Now I'm going to focus, and in a few minutes it's going to start ticking again. And all the people that it's ticking, please call in, and there will be maybe 100 people that will call in. I could do that. I can tell you the secrets behind all of this. It's hogwash. The fact that a person can sit down and tell you things from your past, I can also tell you things from your past. That doesn't mean anything. You automatically interpret it, and you're convinced. And if you're astute enough, and you've learned it enough, then you also know how to develop it, and look at people's eyes and read their reactions. The FBI learns this too. There are whole books There's a book that the Christian Church put out about understanding a person when he's talking to you. Do you know that naturally when someone tells you something and you have to think about the past, your eyes look in one direction? When you have to think about the future, your eyes look in a different direction. And when you're telling a lie, your eyes look one way. And when you're telling the truth, your eyes look another way. And there's a way of looking at your eyebrows and looking at your eyes and knowing whether you're thinking about the past or thinking about the future. And other things like this. Is it magic? No, it's a science. Like any other science, if you learn it, you know how to do it. I'm giving you examples, but if you each think about it, if it were said in a different tone of voice, and if I claim that I know, I could make you think a lot of things, and some of the people really think they know. I could tell you the different lines represent different things. There are books on it. I've read some of them. Fine. I would not make any decision in my life based upon things like that. I'll tell you more than that. I was once present when one of the big rabbis, I'm not sure he wants to be quoted by name, of this century, was sitting with his chavrusa. And the chavrusa quoted to him a certain big rabbi that's known for performing miracles. So he asked him, this rabbi, people testify that he says all kinds of miracles. So this rabbi, I'm sitting in the room, and this is one of the biggest people around today. He said to his chavrusa, I don't believe it. So he said, if you were sitting in the room and you saw him performing a miracle, what would you say then? So he said, I'd say he jinxed me. He did something to make it look that way. I still wouldn't believe it. I'm quoting. What did he do? Never heard of that. Don't believe every story you're told either. As a matter of fact, don't believe most stories you're told. And in Yemen, they have a tradition. If you tell someone, I don't believe it, and they say, but it's written. So in Yemen, the tradition is that the answer is, bring me a piece of paper and a pen, and I'll write it down too. Just because something is written doesn't give it validity, and the Rambam writes that also, but you don't need the Rambam to say that. Rambam writes in one of his letters, people have a tendency to just because it's written. You could write anything you want. Sorry, Ari, you have everything? Which one? Every story Rabbi Wein taught me the following line. Every story I tell is true. Some just haven't happened yet.
But can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Because I'm really interested in this. For example, a couple comes in. Do you know what kind of issues they have to get? Is there something in their face? Is there something in their attitude? How does a thing like that work?
When I was in high school, so we used to have a Jewish education program, JET, where guys would come in, like elementary school guys would come in, and we would learn in high school with these young guys. The kids, elementary school kids who didn't have a Jewish education, they were going to public school, and they wanted once a week to learn about their Jewish roots, so they'd come in Wednesday night, and we'd each learn chavrusa with the kids for 45 minutes. There was one guy who was in charge of matching the high school guys with the elementary school guys. They see the guys with the younger kids. And he'd meet a kid and set him up with a chavrusa after a minute, and he did it just like that. And he'd do a good job. So at one point, like after a few years that I was part of this program, I came to him and said, I want you to teach me how to do this. How do you catch, the guys, they come to yeshiva, they're in ninth grade, they're here for a week, you don't talk to them one word, and you know who to match them with. And you see the elementary school kids, they just walk in and you match them up with a good pair. And he told me, the way a person talks to you, the way a person walks up to you, the way a person looks at you, the way a person dresses, gives you a lot of information about who the person is. Just see the way a person holds himself. There's a lot of body language which we have, which if you pay attention to and you read books about, you learn. And there's a lot that can be learned. Some of it comes with experience, and some of it a person has to have a knack for, but a lot of it could be learned. Many lawyers today work with it, teaching their clients body language. and there's certain body language that shows your interest in, certain that doesn't. I once had a teacher that I felt didn't like me. Whatever I did, they wouldn't give me a good grade. And then this was in elementary school. I read an article or something, I don't remember where, I read about body language. And I said, I'm going to see if it works from this teacher. So I had read that if you lean forward when someone's talking, shows you're interested. So I tried it. Suddenly the teacher was all smiles. I implemented all the stuff I read, and I had won the teacher over. And this was a teacher I couldn't stand me for him, and I couldn't figure out why. There's a lot of... No. But I had learned how to work on the... How to play the teacher. So there's a lot that could be learned. Some of it's assigned already, and some of it you pick up on your own. There have been books written, there's stuff scientifically that's been done. And some of it, you talk to the person, you listen, and you learn to read between the lines also. I mean, there are books on there, you learn psychology. I could give you, I have a good book on that. If you want, I have good books on that. Those things, okay?